everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news this Friday morning. Thanks, everybody, who've checked out the Fulham preview that went out at 2 a.m. And apologies for being a little bit late. We've got lots to get into on the show this morning. We're going to be talking about the latest in the last few minutes, dropping about Angelo Stiller of Stuttgart. We've also got the latest on Lemens, who could be heading towards Man City. A load of nonsense coming out around Onana. Updates on Antony and on Rasmus Højlund as well. And the big thing is what the plan is. That is the interesting thing that we're going to start off with around the midfield and around what Manchester United actually are playing at. Because I think what is prevalently clear, if that is a word, the reality is I'm late because I've been doing interviews with Sky. If you've seen me, I've been on Sky News. You know, there's New York Times, you know, I've gone mainstream. And the reality is I'm going to leave you all behind. We're going to change the format. We're going to get a studio in London, X players, less shows, more money. I'm just going mainstream. The plan's worked. And, you know, this was always just a rung on the ladder to me, to greatness. And you know what? You're lucky you're even getting a 10 o'clock show, basically. I'm joking. Sarcasm doesn't necessarily travel away from certain regions. I'm being sarcastic. I was actually late because I was working on the Bundesliga show for later on, which is going to be great, which you're going to tune in for. And I rest assured nothing is going to change from the journey that we are on together. We will continue on this journey together wherever it goes. You and me, the community, United Stand, that's football. We move. So anybody who says you're going to change, I would say nine, which is no in Germany. Let's hit this great news to start off. Well, great news, breaking news, latest news. So basically, we just had a drop from Germany, funnily enough. And it's not from me, even though I am a Bundesliga expert now. This is coming in from Florian Plettenberg, her Sky Germany journalist, basically saying that the story around Angelo Stiller isn't actually true. So I think that with regards to that, I'm of the opinion that it probably isn't true because he's based out in Germany. Obviously, it was Ben Jacobs and others talking about Stiller last night. Plettenberg basically saying this, that, let me get the direct quote for you. Here it is. The rumours linking Manchester United with Angelo Stiller are wide of the mark. There are no internal or external discussions, nor any concrete plans regarding a move to Manchester United. Between now or deadline day, he will go into this season with Stuttgart. His contract runs until 2028. Top player. So what's actually going on there? And I think it's very, very clear that Manchester United, and look, even Fabrizio Romano has been talking about Belaba. It's very, very clear that Manchester United want Belaba and they can't get the deal done. So it's very, very clear that what's happening now, since Belaba and the silence around Manchester United with a goalkeeper and a midfielder, is rightly or wrongly, and I would say there's pros and cons, rightly or wrongly, United are looking at a situation whereby you've got no way of knowing who we're going for because we're re-strategizing what we're actually looking at. So I think it's difficult. Sorry, I'm just getting a message in here. I think what's happening is you've got United are clearly reassessing post-Belaba what to do. And we haven't got the time for this. And the transfer window is running down. I completely appreciate that. But Angelo Stiller is a very different type of player to the player that we were looking at with Belaba. And also, so is Højlund. And I think what United are doing here is, it's very obvious that we don't have a massive amount of money in the midfield. And it's also very obvious that United are looking at what their options are in the final days in the midfield. So I would say that the door has closed on Stiller already, if we're being completely honest. The door on Wharton is effectively closed because they've just sold Eze. They're going to sell Guehi. they're not going to want to sell him for the price that we're going to want to pay, even though he'd be a dream target. And you're probably wandering into a very, very similar situation with Holmlund at Sporting, in the sense that I don't think that deal is going to get done because of how long's left in the window and the price. I still hold belief that Man United will bring a midfielder in, and I'm absolutely convinced that the reason there's still a talk is coming out is because United are inquiring with players around a certain fee and a certain suitability. I don't think that Plettigol in Germany is wrong. I expect Stiller to stay, and from a personal sense, it'd be great because he'll be in the Bundesliga, and I've got Bundesliga rights. But no, I mean, look, if he's good enough for United, I want him to come and play for Man United. But if that deal is off, what are we looking at? And I think that here comes the panic buy, says Kartik. Well, I actually think the last few days from United suggest that maybe the panic buy won't happen. I think it's more likely that the buy doesn't happen at all. Because if we are moving away from Belaba, and he is a very distinctive profile of player, and we're then looking at Stiller, but that's not possible, and we're looking at Yulman, and that's not possible, and we're looking at Wharton, and that's not possible, it shows we're looking, and it shows that we're taking our time. And I think in the past, as some people have said, we would normally go and start being very desperate. And I think, essentially, that's not the case, because we're not being desperate at the moment. But in not being desperate, panic and patience will run thin, and panic will increase. It's difficult. I'm of a firm believer, and I don't know about you, I'm of a firm believer that we are going to need a midfielder. I don't believe that we shouldn't do anything, but I also believe it's got to be the right player. So I look at the Stiller story, and look, probably not going to happen. But as I said last night, I like the profile of player. It's very different to Belaba. And you've got to take the time with Amorim and Wilcox and whoever else is involved to sit down and go, right, we didn't get Belaba. Do we leave it as it is? To which I think Ruben Amorim's going to go, no, we don't leave it as it is. I desperately do need a midfielder. Okay, there is nothing out there like Belaba. What about someone like Stiller? What about someone like Yulman? What about someone like Wharton? And you cross all three of those off because you can't get them. Then what do you do? And there are people in the chat going, let's just leave it and wait till the summer. And to be honest, look, this is a latest update from Fabrizio. I don't want to be misquoted on this. What did he say about Belaba? Something in here. United have an excellent connection with Belaba and his agent. The club will maintain his name very high on their list, and they will really try again for him in the future. I mean, that worries me. That worries me, because that's sort of like, we didn't get Belaba in the summer that we needed him, so we're going to wait till next summer. And next summer, Belaba likes us. Belaba and his agent like Man United at the moment, because we're the only buyer in the shop. Like, if you were in a shop and you've got a prized asset and you want to sell it, and Man United are the only people who walk into the shop, you're going to like them. Take my number. Oh, you can't afford it at the moment. I mean, look, at the end of the day, let's be honest, Belaba is a very, very expensive watch. Man United have walked in and said, we'd love to buy that watch. And they, you know, Brighton have said, no, you can't have it because it's not, you know, you can't afford it. And United have said, well, next year, we think we can afford it. We think we will be back. And then United go back next year when they've got the money, but someone else walks in the shop. I don't trust or believe the Belaba story, to be honest with you. That's, you know, not what I believe. So I think that there's an element of concern about the Belaba, let's go back, because I think, what does that do for us now? What does it do for us now? It's like your roof's leaking and the plumber you want to use isn't available for 6 months. Well, I need to plug the leak now. Mic drop. They're all just here. They're here. They're just naturally here. Mic drop. I mean, that's it, isn't it? You know, the person that's going to come and fix your leak might be a really good at their job. You really want them, but they're not available because they're too good. You've got to get someone to fix the leak. And I think United, I'm not going to criticize United, because I genuinely think that they are trying to bring a midfielder in. But if we don't bring a midfielder in, I think that's when the criticism starts. It's a difficult job, but then I think those of you who are unsympathetic would say, why are we going for Belieber with 3 weeks in the window left anyway? And why have we left ourselves with 9 days left in the window to get a midfielder? So, yeah, Stiller doesn't look like it's happening according to German sources. Where do we go next? In a way, I see a positive that we are looking for people. But in a way, I also look at the days ticking by. With regards to the goalkeeper, interesting story coming out this morning about Lemens. Obviously, we had Ben Jacobs on the show yesterday saying that Lemens is still an option for Manchester United. Sacha Tavolieri, who is a Belgian journalist, I can't think off my head if he's ever been credible. Manchester City are now exploring a move for Lemens, who's been linked to Manchester United. I mean, this is just frustrating because I saw somebody sent me something today, Jamie Jackson. Man United have held talks with... Man United have told clubs who have inquired about Andre Onana that he isn't going anywhere, and Onana is aware of that. I've never heard such shit in all my life. I don't know whether that's been taken out of context because I'm reading it on UTD exclusive. But that basically reads to me that clubs have inquired about Onana and Man United have said he's not for sale. And that's why Onana doesn't want to go. I've never heard such shit in all my life. It's just not true. If Man United had somebody ring up and say, we're interested in Onana, right? You know what they'd do? They'd get hold of Gary Neville and say, you know, that lovely hotel in Manchester City Centre, can we have the penthouse suite? They'd get in contact with the best restaurant, you know, they'd do stadium tours. They would wine and dine these people to get the deal done. I mean, no way Man United. I mean, you know what I love about the updates? Man United have told clubs, not club, clubs, you know, acting like there's more than one. Man United have told clubs who've inquired about Onana, he ain't going anywhere. This is horseshit. I'm sorry. This is the sort of bullshit spin that makes people forget the truth. We are going to be stuck with Onana because nobody wants him. We are not keeping Onana. I mean, medically, what would be wrong with these clubs if they were queuing up to sign this goalkeeper as well? I mean, the biggest of bullshit. I mean, you're doing a bloody... I tell you what, that is such bullshit. I'd love to see the bull that crapped it out because that's some big bull. You know, this is a big bull. You know, this is massive. Yeah, look, Man United approached Aston Villa for Emi Martinez. Fact. Manchester United have been in talks about Lemens. Fact. Manchester United set a price to Monaco for Onana. Fact. Don't bullshit us with Man United have told loads of clubs that Onana's not for sale. It's about spinning a positive on an absolute bag of shit. You know, it really is. It's like spraying perfume on it and saying, do you want this bag of shit? We are not telling clubs that Onana's not for sale because clubs are not knocking on the door, basically. So absolute nonsense. On the goalkeeper, though, look, if what do you want me to say? If Lemens ends up going to Manchester City, are we really going to lose it? No, because if Lemens ends up going to Manchester City, we are powerless because we are not acting in that way. Manchester City could still buy Donnarumma and Rodrigo after a very good summer transfer window. Liverpool could still get Isak and Guehi on the top of a very good transfer window. Chelsea could still go and get Xavi Simons, who will be playing for Leipzig on the stream we've got tonight. Fantastic player. And Garnacho. And they've all had really good summers and they're still looking to buy two really good players each. Arsenal are announcing Eze today. We can't even get holes in our team filled. Those Arsenals, Man City, Chelsea's, Liverpool's, they're spending millions of pounds on squad players. We can't even fill holes in our starting 11. So if Lemens went to Man City, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, get out. I would sit here and go, it's very, very disappointing, but I can believe it because we're not solving the problems in our team. Because there's still a football club that it really is, no matter how much you try and swim to the surface. I would liken Man United to this. We're drowning. we're literally drowning. And even if you want to agree, and I think in certain elements, I would agree, we are trying to swim to the surface, whether you think that's Barada, Amarin, Wilcox, or Jim, whoever. I think there is a desire to swim to the surface, but there's 100% 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people grabbing hold of the ankles and pulling us down. And that's where we are as a football club at the moment. We just can't get there. Now, hopefully, in the next 9 days, we can. If not in the next 9 days, hopefully in the next year or so. But we are still very, very hindered by an inability to do what needs to be done. So, look, on the goalkeeper and on the midfielder, who knows what's going to happen. There's definitely a desire to do things, but we're definitely going to start getting the bullshit spin about Anana's not for sale, Binda's not for sale, we're happy with the squad we've got. It's inevitable, because what, you know, Ruben Amorim's going to get asked these questions, and at some point he's going to drop the update we don't want. At some point he's going to get told, we're out of time. We can't do these deals. I hope that's not the case. I hope we will get the deals done, but at some point he may get told they're not going to happen. And when you hear him in a press conference saying, I'm happy with what I've got, I'm happy with my goalkeepers, I'm happy with my field, that's when you've got to worry, because that means the club are basically saying we ain't getting anything else, and that's when it becomes a problem. So I think with the midfield, like I say, the update on Stiller not happening, the update on Wharton not happening, the update on a goalkeeper not happening, but I think that we definitely are moving and looking at options. But how quick, you know, even if we find an option, how quickly can we move? I mean, look, personally, I'm still very locked in on Emi Martinez not playing against Brentford tomorrow, and then he comes to Man United in the next week. But that's ridiculously quick turnaround, and it's a conspiracy theory. I'm still of an opinion we could get Hjulmand from Sporting, but where's the money, and how can you do that when they don't want to sell? I think we're running out of time. And whilst I still believe that we're working hard to try and get something done, you have to acknowledge the window closes in a week and a half. A week and a half. A week and a half. Like a week and a half. Bloody hell. Anyway, let me get into some of the news. Then I'm going to get into some of your comments as well. So the deal for Garnacho to Chelsea is going to happen, says Fabrizio Romano. I wish it just bloody would. Fenerbahce, this is coming in from ESPN Brazil. Fenerbahce have entered the race for Antony with everything and communicated in the last few hours that they're willing to pay the 45 million euro requested by Man United. However, Antony is not fully convinced on a move to Turkey. This is coming in from ESPN Brazil. Well, whether it's true or it's not, I think it highlights the reality that we have had decent offers for Antony, which we would accept, and he won't accept them. So think what you like about Antony. And look, I've seen the pictures. Cunha's been round his house for a meal in Manchester. He's a nice guy. But in relation to Manchester United, my priority is not whether Antony is a nice guy. My priority is how are you treating Manchester United, and therefore the fans of Manchester United, many of us which have supported you, you're behaving like an absolute prat. You've been paid 200 grand a week for 3 years. 3 years. We get you on loan to Betis, where you actually have a glow up, and then you don't fuck off. You then sit there and go, I don't want to go anywhere other than Betis. I mean, this is the summer where football has changed so much. We've seen Liverpool win the league and then go and spend half a billion. We've seen everybody else spending loads of money to get back in the Champions League because it's big, big money. We've seen a Club World Cup, which confused many of us, but you made 100 million if you won it. And we've also seen players who now are not open to any other move than the move that they want, to an extent that they will sit on their arse for 2 months, miss pre-season and the start of the season. And remember, this is not Antony holding out for Real Madrid. This is Antony ignoring decent offers in Turkey and Spain and even the Bundesliga to go back on loan to Betis. Back on loan to Betis, where we will have to pay half his wage. Nah. Don't try and spin that as any... It's funny, Antony and spin. Don't try and spin that into anything other than madness. Absolute madness. He is sat on his arse, wasting the window away so he can get his own way. And his own way is Real Betis not paying for him, but is paying for him to go to Spain and play for Betis. Last time I checked, you know what? I'd ring Betis up and say, if you want Antony and you want us to pay half his wages, you better sell your fucking club to us, because the last time I checked, you're not a feeder club of Man United and we don't own Real Betis. But if you want to do that, then by all means, sign this contract. You can have Anthony. We'll give you a couple of other players as well. But the last time I checked, you are not a feeder club of Man United. So why the fuck are you acting like it? Why are you getting one of our players to run down this window to force us to send you back him so we can pay half his wages to do it? We're in debt. We haven't won the bloody title in, what, 11, 12 years? We're not in Europe. At what point do you think we're going to be happy with paying half of the wages of a player to fuck off back to Spain and do what he wants? What about what we want? And I tell you what, it's pissing me off. Sancho pisses me off. Garnacho pisses me off. But so does bloody... So does Anthony. Well, there's offers out there where we can just get rid of him. And Betis can't afford his wages. This is the thing that people don't talk about. They can't afford to buy him, but they can't afford his fucking wages either. They just want their cake and eat it. And the problem with Anthony is people go, it's only one more year of this. He's still got 2 years left on his contract. So we might have this again next summer as well. Rashford's still got a few years left on his contract. So it is frustrating, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let me just get into some of your comments. Let's have a quick look. What about Hackney? Great Bruno replacement. Turned down Ipswich. You know what, Stephen? The thing about Hayden Hackney is it's a little bit like all those guesses out there who pretend that they've got info. Hayden Hackney's been mentioned. I see Hayden Hackney as a fan target. And I saw Belaber as a fan target. Now, the minute Ornstein said we're in for Belaber, that's when it gets real. So I'm not disputing the talents of Hayden Hackney, but the only people I've ever heard talk about Hayden Hackney is you, who I respect, and people who pull stories out their arse, who I don't. So until the day David Ornstein or someone like that says Man United are in for Hayden Hackney, I just think it's an absolute waste of time. Now, in the last few days of the window, maybe that will happen. Is he a suitable player for what we're actually looking for? Would you pay Hayden Hackney next to Bruno Fernandes in a Premier League midfield? I think that's a hell of a step up, no matter how talented he is. And I think what we're looking for is a player that can go in next to Bruno and play against Man City and Chelsea after the international break. And that's the problem, because Amrin needs results. Hi, Mark. Do you think Mount and Bruno midfield will work, says Ashton? I think that sounds like I'd rather have Anton Deck. Hey, bloody hell. Mason Mount and Bruno Fernandes in a midfield too. Ashton, I think it would be a bloodbath and not for us. I mean, I think that would be absolutely shit, if I'm being honest. I think Mount can do a job where Bruno is. A job? Put him together. Bloody hell. It's like putting Erling Haaland and Robert Lewandowski at centre-back. It'd be a bloody nightmare. I get taking our time to find good deals, but we haven't even started talks with anyone yet, which is concerning, says John. Yeah, we're running out of time. You know, there's no other way of putting it, John. I wonder whether Lemens to City means they aren't on Donnarumma anymore, says Stephen. I think they'll end up with Donnarumma. I do. Man City are all about status, and Donnarumma's a status signing, isn't it? Liam Brown says, is it possible Amrin would sabotage the first games of the season to prove a point and make Jim realise we need a holding midfielder and a keeper? Well, it's possible, Liam. It's not reality. We played very, very well against Arsenal, and there's no way you could sabotage that game because there were so many times we could have scored goals and Bienda would have to be in on it to do what he did. So, I think that would be massively unwise to throw games because he's under pressure. He's got to win games. Check the preview out that went up last night for Fulham. This is a game he has to win. It's Manchester United. He has to beat Fulham on Sunday. Otherwise, no point playing well and losing and then the next game playing shit and losing, because playing well last week means nothing. He's got to win against Fulham. Chip says, a Belaber type of profile made sense, but buying a more cultured ball-playing midfielder like Stiller puts Mainoo even further down the pecking order. Matthew says, we are a midfielder away from a good season. I'd include a goalkeeper in that. Do you think further signings depends on results on Sunday? If we get run through in the midfield, we buy. If not, we won't. Dangerous way to do it, says Dan. It's the ridiculous way to do it, Dan. It'd be desperate, Dan. I think... you can never rule it out. Results dictate action. But if we're deciding on signings on a result against Fulham, I mean, imagine how naive that is. Imagine you beat Fulham and Burnley and you don't make signings, and then you come back from the international break and you get smacked up by Chelsea and Man City and you've lost three of your first five and the window's shut. So we absolutely should not be taking any notice of Fulham and Burnley results, because even if we win those, one loss in three, the window will be closed to Chelsea and Man City. Lose both those and you look a right mug, don't you? How much would it take to bring McTominay back as PMC? Well, it'd be stupid, so I don't really care. Mark, congratulations on your new deal. Simon Jordan praising you, wonders never cease. You'll deserve all the success and your content is always 10 out of 10. You're a lovely scholar and a gentleman, Bounty Hunter. Thank you very much for your super chat. Hopefully you'll be joining in with us. Remember, United Stand is at 6 o'clock tonight because we're live on Matt's Football at 7 with the official Bundesliga live stream. We will have the footage. We're very excited about that. Is there any midfielders from Leipzig? Not that we can go and buy. No. They brought a couple of midfielders in this summer, but they, you know, they're not available. And I think what they've got in their midfields is a couple of Austrians who, no, we're not going to be looking at. We won't be looking. No, there's nothing there. There's plenty in Bayern's midfield, but we're not going to be going there either. I'm not going against taking our time, but do we need a centre midfielder or a goalkeeper? We don't do it now. It won't be until next season, as we never buy in January. I'm surprised we don't look for some loan deals like in the past, says Patrick. I'm with you, Patrick. I don't support the opinion that if you can't get Belaba now, let's wait till the summer. That's the sort of thing you do under Sir Alex when you've just won the league. No, we need to go and get something now. Let's see what we do. And ultimately, the club have exposed themselves that they've got money. They have exposed that they've got money. So, because they were going to spend some money on Belaba. Luke Shammy, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much for supporting us and getting your badge in. Can you see us pivoting to Edison to Zbysko? I mean, I think that's a very interesting name. A very expensive name. Atalanta are very difficult to deal with. I would say it's very slim. But I think any midfielder that you mention is very slim. I mean, Wharton's impossible. Hjulmand is very slim. Edison would be very slim. So where are we going to go? I mean, there are plenty of other names out there, but I can't see us doing a deal with Atalanta in 9 days. No. Are you partial to a bit of German sausage, as Matthew Gartel? A bit early for that. Congratulations, Mark, says Shin. I personally don't like any of the midfielders mentioned. Midfield should be thoroughly analysed. Short term, says Jacob. I will be annoyed. Long term, it's smart, says Jacob. Guten Morgen, says Fenerbahce, says Jordan. Fenerbahce apparently willing to meet 45 million euros for Antony on X this morning. Yeah, we've discussed that. Thank you, Jordan. I'm sorry, I'm just going through these, so you probably said it before we spoke about it. Hope you're having a good day. Stefano says, did you see the story about Onana potentially returning to Inter? I saw it in an article from The Sun, so I don't think it's true. You've answered your own question there, Stefano. Don't anybody get excited. Liam says, Mark, to be the new presenter on Match of the Day. They had their chance. You made Simon Jordan bow down, says MMA Tape Dad. I'm sure Simon will be back with his normal coverage very, very soon. Love your show. United to win on Sunday, says Don Rick. Yeah, we do. I'm very excited about it. I hope we will. And Gaz says, interesting fact, every time a Grand Theft Auto game has been released, Man United won the league. Next year, GTA 6 is out, says Gaz. We're 100% going to break that streak. You know, The Undertaker did lose at WrestleMania. And Man United are not going to win the league for GTA 6. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying it would be the same as when Leicester won it, but in a way, it would be ridiculous. It won't happen. Chris, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much for that. You know why I know we won't win the league? Because Arsenal are going to be up there and they've already beat us at Old Trafford and we're not going to win at the Emirates. So even if we were going to win the league, one of the contenders has already got 6 points on us. So we're not winning the league. Chris, thank you. Welcome to the Members Club. You're a legend. Congratulations, Mr. Bridge, on your new deal. You're your UK's greatest export, says Ike. God, haters are going to hate now. Bisco says, the Turkish window closes on the 12th of September. Should we block the Betis move and force him to go to Turkey, says Bisco. Look, I think in relation to Sancho, Garnacho and Antony, they're immensely irritating, selfish people, and they've not got any interest in Man United or his fans. Bullshitters. I mean, this is the Antony that was kissing a Man United badge against, was it Newport County? And now he's sitting on his arse, probably kissing a Betis badge. Like, he probably kissed an Ajax badge before he went on strike there. He's effectively on strike at Man United, let's be honest. But do I want to force these players to, you know, stay at the club? I mean, at the end of the day, part of me is, I'm very pissed off with them. I think you learn the lesson and you piss them off. You get rid of them. You know, people say, don't let Garnacho go to Chelsea on the cheap. And the alternative is, yeah, you let him rot in the reserves. It's vindictive. He probably deserves that. But then part of me just goes, just learn the lesson. Learn the lesson and never put yourself in this position again. Get rid of them, basically. AU says, breaking news, Florian Plettenberg rumours linking Man United with Angelo Stirrer, wide of the mark. It's not quite breaking news, mate, because we've already covered it. But yes, Stephen Swift speaking about Hayden Hackney there as well. Let me have a quick look because there's some other stuff coming in. Just quickly on Rasmus. Romano's been talking again. Rasmus wants to stay at Man United and fight for his place, but Amrim sent a clear message by not bringing him on against Fiorentina and not involving him against Arsenal. Probably has got no choice to leave. Wants his deal to include obligation because he wants to feel confidence that his new club wants a permanent move. I completely get all of that, by the way. I think, you know, as a footballer, you want, especially when you're only 22, you want to feel a sense of purpose to your career, unless you're bloody Garnacho, who just wants to sit on his arse. But no, seriously, he will want to feel a sense of purpose. But, you know, time is running out. Time is running out. There's no doubt about that. Lenny Yoro is wearing pink boots. Yeah, but Lenny R is not Phil Jones. Winning team photo as well. Great. Look at that. Winning team. Bruno, Casemiro, Leon, Evan, Mbeumo, Yoro, Binda. Fucking winning team. You know what? Even if we were winning the league and putting winning team pictures out from training, I'd still say it makes me feel sick. I am absolutely distraught by winning team photos, to be honest with you. Three years of Casemiro today, Mark. Lookhurst in the Manchester Evening News is saying that Ruben Amorim is giving serious consideration to recalling Onana against Fulham. Source say a demotion for Binda could kill his confidence. Well, you can check out my opinion on that on the preview. So there we go. Yeah, 3 years of Casemiro. Well, as I mentioned the other day, 3 years of Casemiro. I mean, look, if I'm being completely blunt, the fact that Casemiro has just skirted under the radar this summer is a clear indicator of what a failure our sales have been. I said after the Europa League final that some of those players should never wear a Man United shirt again. That game wasn't just a game. That was like, it was a get out of jail free card. Like, the season to finish 15th in a Man United shirt is absolutely embarrassment. You know, that's on your Wikipedia page forever. To be part of that squad and come back this season smiling is laughable. Like, I don't get the modern footballer. You just shat out the worst Premier League season by a very long way in a Man United shirt and you roll back smiling. I want to see determination, anger and frustration from the players this season. But the Europa League final was separate to that shit house of a season. And they shit all over Bilbao. It was absolutely, and not in a good way, it was a horrific final, an absolute shit show. It amazes me that none of the players who played in that final have been sold. None of them. None of them been put for sale. None of them have been, they're all still here. So with the failure to remove Antony, who wasn't part of last season, or Rashford, who wasn't part of last season, or Sancho, who wasn't part of last season, or Malacia, who wasn't part of last season, is why we've not even looked at the players who were part of last season. Obviously, Garnacho was part of last season. He's the only one we're trying to get rid of, and he's certainly not the responsible one. He was one of them, but he's not the responsible one. He didn't even start the final. But I think people like Casemiro, very, very fortunate that we've been so crap at selling players, because I can't believe that we've not got rid of any players from last season that were part of that shit show. And not all of them need to go. I mean, I saw the interview with Harry Maguire where he said a lot of clubs inquired about him and the club said it was a flat no. I understand why you'd want to keep Maguire for another year. But in the case of Casemiro, 3 years of Casemiro at 350k a week, I'm sorry, flop. Clip it, flop. Start the conversation, get it on TikTok, get it on Insta, get it on Shorts. Flop. 3 years of Casemiro, flop. Fact. 350k a week, £60 million transfer fee, 3 years down the line, flop. If you want a definition of a flop, that's a flop. If we got him on a free transfer on 150 grand a week, it's a different conversation. But 350 grand a week, £60 million transfer fee, and 3 years later, flop. Has to be a flop. The first season, I thought he was player of the season. But one season, and let's not forget, we've got another year of him as well because he won't leave. He's running his contract down. I like Casemiro. And this is the niche of having an opinion on people that isn't personal. It's just football. It's just business, I suppose. I can assess a player after 3 years. And it has to be a flop. If we'd have moved him on and got, I don't know, 30 million from Saudi to last summer, I might have said it wasn't too bad, but every day he stays at the club extends the flop, to be honest, unless he has the greatest season he's ever had, which clearly I don't think is going to happen. But look, I like Casemiro. I can also say that over the last decade, I put him up there with Rodri and Kimmich as the two best holding midfielders in the world. But he's not that player anymore. We caught a year of it. Tox. Do you think Bruno should start all the games for 90 minutes all season, even if he is bad? We should have took the 100 million. And welcome to Members Club Columbus as well, and Chris Henriksen. Look, I'm hoping that the manager is going to give... Mainu minutes and, you know, distribute... Bottom line, Bruno shouldn't be playing every minute of every game in centre midfield. I don't think it helps our midfield. I'd love to see Bruno playing as a number 10. I've said that before. But would I have took the £100 million for him? I mean, God, look, it was an easy decision for me in June. If Bruno's going to be our number 10, I don't think I'd do the deal. If he's going to be our number 8, I think I do the deal. That was at the start of June. With 9 days left in the window and we don't have a goalkeeper and a midfielder, would I have took £100 million for Bruno? Oh, come on. There's a bear shit in the woods. I mean, come on. Would I have took £100 million for Bruno in June if he's going to be a starting midfielder? Of course I bloody would. We haven't got a goalkeeper and we haven't got a midfielder that we need. And that would be the money to do it. So, as I said at the time, love Bruno, best player, don't like him in the midfield, would have been the ultimate sacrificial lamb to a rebuild that we clearly need. What we're actually going to end up doing is going into a season with a guy that's probably going to go in a year's time and not have the rebuild we need. And we desperately need the rebuild. And the rebuild was 5 players minimum. And the rebuild was a midfielder and a goalkeeper. So what we actually are going to do is going to have people like Casemiro and Bruno in our midfield who are both going to go in the summer. So we're basically putting the rebuild on hold for a year, aren't we? And time waits for nobody in football. We should have had 5 signings minimum and we've got 3. We should have made 6 or 7 sales minimum. We've made none. So I think, unfortunately, unless something big happens in the next 9 days, we're going to go into this season flipping a coin on, is this team good enough to get 5th? And if not, we're still building next year. Sold Seduction says, what's the deal with the Bundesliga? Is it live match or it's a watch along? Well, if you go to That's Football, you can watch Premier League predictions with me and Robbie for the weekend, and you will also see live match on the thumbnail. So it's not watch along, because we put watch along when it's a watch along. Live match means we've got the live match. So if you think back to my FIFA career mode, where the game's on and I'm in a little box on the corner.
I'm a man in a box.
That's what it will be. So when the match is on, you will have full of that. Romano on Le Mans. Let me have a look on this.
Boom.
Ooh. We like a bit alive. We like a bit alive. Please don't let it be. Please don't let it be to do with. All I'm going to say is I've not read this yet. Please do not let it be to do with Man City. I lose my shit. Oh, it's not. Understand, Manchester United are still working on deal to sign Le Mans. Talks underway. Personal terms are almost agreed, and Man United are in active talks for the Belgian keeper. Man United tried to anticipate more clubs from France and Italy, also based on exit. This is a huge update. This is great news. Great news. Absolutely great news. Yeah, that is absolutely fantastic. So I'm just getting a bit of confirmation here. So breaking news on the morning show, Fabrizio Romano, understand Manchester United are still working on deal to sign Le Mans. Talks underway. Personal terms are almost agreed and Man United are in active talks for the Belgian goalkeeper. Manchester United trying to anticipate more clubs from France and Italy, also based on exits. So look, there's a few kickers in there, but this is really positive. And this is what I mean. Well done to you and to me. What did I say on Monday? Man United are actively looking at goalkeepers and midfielders. Loads of the people in the know and journalists, etc., were saying unlikely to get a goalkeeper, unlikely to get a midfielder. And yet, our brief on Monday was that United are very actively looking at goalkeepers and midfielders. No guarantees, but then they've not given up hope. And here you go. On a Friday, Man United are in talks with Le Mans. Now, a lot of people are saying, would you be happy with that? Mount says we should have gone for Le Mans from the start. Honestly, with 9 days left in the window, getting a goalkeeper in is Christmas. Now, it's not going to turn... you get Emi Martinez, you get Donnarumma, that has the potential to knock your transfer window from a 5 to a 7. And then a midfielder can knock you up to an 8. Le Mans comes in from Royal Antwerp. He's basically, at best, David De Gea from Atletico Madrid. He's a young goalkeeper with potential. But I don't mind that. I said that in January, and many of you agreed with me. I don't mind bringing in another De Gea. Because ultimately, if you're offering me an Onana and Binda, or a young De Gea, and I don't mean he's like De Gea, I'm saying that he's a goalkeeper that's got potential to be world class. I don't mind that. Now, obviously, it doesn't always work out. You look at Chelsea, they've tried it with a few goalkeepers and it hasn't worked out. Other clubs have tried the younger goalkeeper and it doesn't work out. But it's better than Onana and it's better than Binda. And I'd rather be in a position with a goalkeeper that is technically good. And what I've seen and been told and read about Le Mans is that he's a technically talented goalkeeper. He can come for crosses. When he makes a save, he knows to twist his arm and his wrist and put it out for a corner. He's a good shot stopper. Now, obviously, he's going to make mistakes and we as a football club have to embrace and protect him, which I trust us to do. If you buy a goalkeeper like Le Mans, he's not the finished article. He will be nervous. He will make mistakes the same way David De Gea did. But I'd rather have that than what we've got. Now, ultimately, I would rather have Emi Martinez walk in and be brilliant from day one, experienced leader. But if we can't do that, we've got to do something else. And it's exactly the same as the midfield. Of course, I want Belaba. He would have been perfect. But if we're not getting Belaba, then you've got to get something else because you can't get nothing. So for me, it reminds me of Cech, says Joe. I mean, I don't know enough about him, but I absolutely do not want to hear, oh, I'm not happy with that. Because the alternative would have been, you're not happy with Binda and Onana. We've got to replace our goalkeeper. You saw Binda against Arsenal. He cost us 3 points. You've seen Onana for 2 years. He isn't technically good enough. So look, maybe Onana or Binda are number one and Le Mans comes in and gradually pushes them out. Maybe that's the way it goes. maybe he comes in and he's number one straight away. But this is great news that we're in talks. Am I worried about clubs from Italy and Spain or France? No. With all due respect, I'm not worried about them. Unless it's Real Madrid or Barcelona, I ain't worried about them. Am I worried that we've got to sell to buy? I mean, look, we've got to sell anyway. So, you know, this is what I mean. Like, as bad as it sounds, when you're buying a goalkeeper for what, 15 million, getting 5 million and Rasmus's wages off the wage bill probably gets you laments. That's how sad it is. Loaning Rasmus and getting his wage bill off for a year probably gets you laments. So this is the problem when you can't sell Rashford, you can't sell Anthony, you can't sell Sancho, and you can't sell Garnacho. But we may need to get the money in from Rasmus to get laments. But at the end of the day, we are Manchester United, and we are a football club that you know is going to be very, very attractive. So this is great news. I've expected it, and it's great, great news. I'm going to look here. Don't know why. Let me just message this person. So, yeah, breaking news. Fabrizio Romano, Lamens and Manchester United. Let's see how that develops. Active talks and working on a deal. I'm happy with that. Look, I still would say, and this is the biggest Tom Brady 60-yard Hail Mary at the end of a game in the Super Bowl. Like, it probably won't happen. But Brentford play Villa tomorrow. If Emi Martinez doesn't come back into that team, I think it gets very interesting. I think he probably will get picked against Brentford, but if he didn't, maybe that could be something. But you've got to be dealing with something else. And I think Lemens, in a way, makes sense. Lemens makes sense. So I'm not going to say I'm going to be ecstatic about it, because I want a goalkeeper that's ready for... I remember saying this in January. I personally felt that United would go down the route of a younger goalkeeper to push Onana out over 12 months, because I didn't think Onana was going to go. Now, Onana won't go, and he probably won't be able to get a move in 9 days. But I think over the next 12 months, he might figure out that he's not going to be the goalkeeper and start to look for a move in January or something like that. Look, Onana doesn't want to go, and he won't take the hint. So he needs to be pushed out the door. And it might be longer than 9 days that this sort of a goalkeeper sort of unsubtly pushes him towards that door. But he will need a bit of time. Would Pavlovic from Bayern, amazing midfielder, says Elbin. He is good. He's a bit injury prone though, isn't he? And also, I don't think Bayern are going to let him go. But excited. Like, nice to get some exciting news while we're live. Terry's live. I'm going to push you over there in a minute, because Ben, he's live with Ben Jacobs. So I'll push you over there in a moment. I just want to double check. Have you got shows on today? We've got Amrin's press conference about 1:30, and then I'm live with you at 6:00. And then don't miss out on the Bundesliga live game tonight on Match Football. Do you think Lemons will bench Onana this season? I think it could happen straight away. It could happen slowly. But look, check out my preview for Fulham, because I don't think Onana starts. I don't think he can start. I think it would be, you know, I think it would be stupid to do that. Okay, thanks everyone for watching. Absolutely ecstatic with that news, to be honest with you. Verifies what we said on Monday when no one else was saying it. You know, everyone else was saying unlikely to get a midfielder, unlikely to get a goalkeeper. Our source delivers again. Man United are actively, Wilcox and Amorim are actively trying to get a goalkeeper and a midfielder in. Time might run out, but that's the aim. Well, goalkeeper. And that's the one I think's harder. I think the midfielder is obvious. I think because we went for Belaba, we've made it very obvious we want a midfielder. And the goalkeeper has been subtle. And remember, we broke this in March. Amorim wants Onana gone. And some people have been trying to make out that that's not true. We approached Aston Villa. We told Monaco a price for Onana, and we have been talking to Lemens for a considerable period of time. So it's great that those people get sat down. But more importantly, it's great that we're actually looking to solve a problem that we all know. And I think you know, when you've got people like Gary Neville in the mainstream on Sunday saying Man United need a goalkeeper, that's when as a club you've got to realise if the mainstream are saying it, we're really exposed. So let's hope we get it done. Get over to Terry. He's talking about it. He's got Ben Jacobs with him, so they'll be well into this. I'll speak to you in a bit. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. And don't forget to put it in your calendar tonight. Live Bundesliga action on Matt's Football. I'll speak to you later.